Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Small Business Stand Up, where we discuss all the secrets of seasoned entrepreneurs in different fields of business. Learn from them and be ready to grow and thrive. Stay tuned and enjoy. The views, information, or opinions expressed by the host, co-host, and or guests on this podcast do not necessarily represent or reflect the views of our company, our sponsors, and advertisers. Please consult your attorneys, CPA, or business owners, advisors, before making any business decision. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Small Business Stand Up. I'm Coach Jay, and I have my co-host with me, Mr. Jason. Mr. Jason, what's up, Jason?
Hey, hey, what's going on, everybody?
Hey, man, another day, man. I'm excited about the day, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We got a CEO on here, man. IJustOrdered.com. Tech company, man. Young man doing some amazing things. Mr. Chandler Young. What's up, Mr. Chandler?
Hey, how you doing, Jay?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Appreciate you coming on with us, man.
No problem.
Okay, cool, man. So let's start from the beginning. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm originally from Saginaw, Michigan.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your hometown, man. Some things about how you was brought up, stuff like that.
I'm from Saginaw, Michigan, but my family, I'll speak to more as my mother's side. They are from Alabama. My grandfather moved up during the 30s and the 40s up to Saginaw from Alabama to join into General Motors workforce. And so, he moved to Saginaw. He was married at the time. He had about two children. And they moved over to what is called Lapeer Street over on the northeast side of Saginaw by Houghton Elementary. And he went on to have about 12 children, my mother being the 11th of 12. And so, yeah, that's my mom's side. And my dad's side is from Kentucky, as they moved up to Saginaw during the 60s and relocated up there. And my dad has four siblings, him being the second oldest. And so growing up in Saginaw, man, I kind of missed the heyday of it. Me being born in 93, I heard it was, big and booming in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. And then, the crash of General Motors in the 90s and the 2000s. So I didn't get to see its best, but I definitely heard some of the great stories.
Absolutely, man. So would you say that's a blue collar city?
Oh, most definitely. Super blue collar, man. A bunch of hardworking people that don't make excuses. If you got an excuse, they don't want to talk to you. So that's just kind of the mentality that everybody is carrying around the city,
Absolutely. So, I'm quite familiar with General Motors, man. General Motors, if people that's on here that don't know about General Motors, man, one of the probably number one car company, especially up there ever, man, right? So everybody has those General Motors cars and stuff like that. So, and I know General Motors pretty much packed up and got out of there, man. And was the 90s, I would say?
Yeah, around the mid, early 90s. And they got up out of there and went down to China. It really was a Clinton's era. So, they packed up and did that the NAFTA agreement, North Trade, and then kind of packed up things.
Would you say that hurt you guys, your area, pretty bad when they left?
Oh, yeah. Right. So I grew up in Buena Vista, which is a suburb, a township of Saginaw. But my core family, my grandparents, they had grown up right in the inner city. So, all those jobs that were surrounded around those inner cities, like the Malibu plant, the steering gear, all of those different plants, and employed over 80,000 people, in that time. So when they started to pack up and leave, you had it turned upside down, right? You had people who were thriving, people who were, you know, feeding their families from those jobs. And when they left, you had it turned into the exact opposite, people having to fend for themselves by any means to do things that they may have not done in their character and turn to crime and gangs and just a life of sin. So it definitely hit my neighborhood hard. Like I said, Lapeer Street, that's where I went to elementary, Houghton Elementary. And man, we saw some rough days.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, in America, man, it's a lot of small towns that got hit just like that. And it turned it upside down, man. And you know, that hardworking person in that area that still have that drive and motivation to be something, you have to really kind of think outside the box or get sucked up in that world, right? So what got you into becoming an entrepreneur, right? You say your father was in General Motors, so you know, of course, that's a W-2 employee, right? So what got you into becoming an entrepreneur?
Well, that was my grandfather that was in General Motors. My dad, he ended up playing college football at Delaware State and Central State. He graduated from Central State, went on to get his master's degree. And so he worked for Saginaw Public Schools as the chief technology officer. So I got to see him working in an executive position pretty much that all I could remember. And so it was the crash, the 2008 economy crash. It affected my dad's job. He had been working with Saginaw Public Schools for 25 years. And so his department, they all got, outsourced. And they, you know, he had about 15 to 20 employees under him that they outsourced my dad and everybody's position, that entire department. And I saw him have to get up and try to, you know, apply elsewhere. And, you know, he had been in that job so long. And I was about, 14 or 15 years old when I saw it. And so it made me feel like, you know, I never wanted to rely on a company's, job. I never wanted to sit for a company for 20 years because they can still let you go at any moment. And so that's when it clicked in me that I wanted to for sure do my own business on a professional level, right? I had grown up doing my own little side hustles, cutting grass, working in my grandfather's garden. So I had the entrepreneurial hustle, but that 2008 economy crash showed me that I have to do that on a professional level, not just, you know, making a few dollars.
It's amazing how in those times when stuff like that hit, it can spur somebody on to doing some great things if you allow it to, and if you allow it to hit your other side where you start doing some crazy things, right? So this is, you know, you definitely turned it up at that time. And it turned out to be a blessing for your family, right?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah. So when he lost his position, right, we had to change, you know, everything, right? We my dad was the only one working in the home at the time. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, full-time mom. So it just changed the entire dynamic, right? She had to go back to work. She hadn't worked in 20 years. So everything was just different from that point. And I got to see that. And so, it was really, really rough, right? Maybe about a year and a half after him losing his job, he ended up having a stroke. And so his health declined as well, not just losing his job. So his health declined. He had five children to feed and a wife. So it forced me and my brothers. I have three brothers. I'm the second oldest. So it's four boys in a row. And then my little sister, she was born in 2001. So it forced me and my brothers to join together, to step together and, you know, put our money together and, you know, help my mom take care of the bills and everything when that kind of, you know, folded in on us. So it definitely, you know, bonded us together for the better. And, I graduated in 2011. So high school.
From BV?
No, Arthur Hill.
Yeah, okay.
I got a question for you, Chandler. We're talking about, you know, you had the entrepreneur spirit and stuff like that. And of course, listening to your story, would you say that that had a big inspiration on the ideas and things that you develop now in reference to your business?
As far as what my dad did, like being around that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. Because, man, from, you know, from the time I could open my eyes, it was a computer in my face.
Yeah.
Literally. So you had my dad working on 30 to 40 schools, you know, everybody's computers in the entire district. So he was bringing computers home, you know, having to do, you know, fix them. And I tell this story all the time. When Saginaw Public transferred their, you know, everybody transitioned from the desktop to the laptop, you had school districts ordering 10,000 laptops, 20,000 laptops. And my dad had to go through and install all the new software on them so, you know, you can do the restrictions and things like that.
Right.
And so at that point, me and my brothers became workers at that exact moment when those other laptops came in. He took us into his office, locked us in there with him, and we put in man hours. I can literally build a computer from beginning to end because of those days, those hours, putting in 10-hour days with him sitting here. You know, back then, you know, to load a program, man, it took forever. So
right.
He would assign each of us like 50, like, all right, you're going to do 20. You're going to do 20. So, man, you know, like, I literally saw everything tech from 99 until 2008, man. And we were blessed to do that because he would get stuff first. He would go to these tech conferences, and we would go with him sometimes. And when he came back, he would bring some of the stuff back and bring it home. And he would always leave it in the car, right? And so... Yeah. He would leave the stuff in the car, and I'm like, "Dad, what's in the car?" He's like, "Yeah, you know." I'm like, "I'll run out there and check." Man, he had some brand new. I saw the Wi-Fi extender first, like the Wi-Fi extender, you know, like normal Wi-Fi. Then you got the extender from that point, the reach of your Wi-Fi that boosted out an extra however many feet. So, like, I got that first as a kid, and I got to sit there and manipulate all the technology.
What year was that? What year was that, Chandler? Because most people are just hearing about that this year.
Today.
That was
today.
About 2002 or 3. Wow. That was honestly about 2002 or 2003.
Man.
So, yeah, man. We were getting a lot of that stuff early. And his boss was an Asian gentleman, Dr. Chin. Dr. Chin was really big in the tech, so he was getting products from, like, Asia. Man, these dudes are bringing stuff in there, and we just like, what is that? Like, you know, so, like, that is definitely why I'm in tech today, because I, you know, I played with it as a child and grew up with it.
No doubt.
There's so many people out there, man, who never get that shot to be around that. Like, I let me be honest with you, I'm really not a tech guy at all, man. You know, I would love to be. But you just said something about extender. That's my first time hearing about this. And you said since 2001. Like, come on, I'm way behind.
That's deep. I thought that was like normal. I didn't know.
Jay said it's not normal for him.
No, man, no for me. I'm a whole different world away from that, man. So that's it.
Yeah, I came in on the tail end of it. You got more than I did, Chandler. But I came in on the tail end. I mean, I'm PACE certified through telecommunications, you know, and stuff like that through circuit board and things like that. But I never really got into it to be, you know, building out apps and stuff like that. It kind of went over my head after I joined the Marine Corps, man.
Okay.
So how was you as a student? Was you the one that got the A pluses and all that good stuff, man? Up until high school,
I was an all A student, man. Literally, just because I was competitive. I like to compete. I didn't like to be second at anything. I always wanted to be number one. Literally, like, on the street, I want to be the first. I want to see what's happening on that the next block first. Like, it just was in me. I grew up watching Kobe Bryant, so that really, really put a different type of mentality in me, just watching him and, you know, just hearing the stories about Kobe.
Yeah,
the Mamba mentality, you know? So yeah. I was a really strong student, and then I got in high school playing sports. Man, it really hit me that the school environment wasn't really what I thought it was going to be, right? I thought, you know, everybody was going to be on this, let's be all A students. And I kind of followed in onto the hanging out, not really, you know, focusing on school, being an athlete more than just a student. And so that definitely held me back. But I still kept a pretty solid grade point average, 3.0, but it wasn't on the 4.0 scale.
Yeah. Okay. And so you said you talked a little bit about you've been in, you played a little football though, right?
Yeah, I played football, basketball, and baseball.
Okay. And you was the star quarterback.
Yeah, I played quarterback, man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You can't be a quarterback, man, and not be able to read the plays and stuff like this. You had to be smart to remember all them plays.
Right. For real, man. That's what my dad had us playing since about third grade. I played quarterback, left-handed quarterback, so I grew up watching Michael Vick and wanting to be Vick, you know, but I also could throw really good as I was a pitcher and stuff like that. So I had a pretty nice arm. And I got a funny story about 10th grade, man. I was walking into the 10th grade, but we had a quarterback ahead of me, a senior that year. He was about 6'8", and the dude could throw it. He was one or number two quarterback in the state at the time. And he was missing football workouts because of he was going to play baseball. We knew he was majority baseball. So I was the lead quarterback going all summer. And my coach was, you know, beefing me up like, yep, you're going to start because – Mike isn't here. Coach Townsend, you know, I'm not mad at you to this day, but I got to tell the story. So he got all the way to the day of the game. I was starting until the day of the game. And he got us into that locker room. He was like, Mike, you're going to start. And I looked at him. I'm like, you're going to start. You know, I thought I was starting, telling everybody to come to the game. My first varsity game, sophomore year, I'm starting at quarterback. That's just a funny story I like to tell just to say, you know, it humbles you because you think you got something, it's never over. Keep fighting, you know, keep going. And I still went on to play receiver that year. I scored about 7 touchdowns. I played running back. I was a mixed-use athlete, you know, type of guy. But after he left, I did get my quarterback position back, though.
You got the shot.
Yeah. Spotlight.
You can't be on the opening night to a man. Come on, man. You told me I'm going to be a starter, man. You can't do that, coach. So, now did you go to college?
I did. I went out to Lincoln University in Jefferson City, Missouri.
And did, so, did you play any sports there?
I played football out there. Okay. So the way I ended up down there, my uncle actually went there in the 80s, which was, you know, kind of a cool situation. And so I ended up there because our assistant coach at the time, by the name of Tony Van Zant, you know, he holds the touchdown record in the state of Missouri, high school touchdown record, I think like 70 or 80 touchdowns in 4 years. And he was a running back, star running back out there. But a lot of his teammates, well, one of his teammates, Mike Jones from University of Missouri, ended up getting the head coaching job at Lincoln. And Mike Jones is actually the dude who made the game-saving tackle in the Rams and the Titans Super Bowl. So he was the guy that stopped Kevin Dyson from getting in the Super Bowl, that one-yard line tackle. That was him. And so Coach Van Zant went down there and he called me, and I was about to, you know, choose between a Michigan school or Ohio school. And he called me like, man, Chan, where you going? I'm like, man, I really don't know. Just kind of making a last minute decision because I didn't know if I was going to go for football or basketball. And so, you know, to go basketball, you got to, you know, wait until that signing day in April. But I'm like, I'm going to just go ahead and sign out for football. He called me like, man, where you going to do? What you going to do? I'm like, man, I really want to get out the state. You know, that's just the Michigan mentality. We want to go out of state right away just to see what it's like. He was like, man, I'm going out here to Lincoln in Missouri. And I was like, dang, that's crazy because my uncle went there. And I had never visited. I never even seen the campus. He just called me like, you going to come down there with me? I'm like, man, forget it. You only live once. And because my uncle went there, I just went ahead and committed right on the spot. And I went down there with him.
Okay. So did you have any aspirations for the NFL? Or you just wanted to play in college?
Honestly, I never did. I never really cared too much for the NFL. I never cared for pro at all. I was just the guy that wanted to get to college for free and get a scholarship and get into the workforce. I just knew that I wanted to be a pro in something. You know, I knew I was going to do tech or business. That was just always my thing. But football, NFL never really gave me that because my dad played. And so he played, you know, NFL, like it was, he didn't make the actual 53-man roster, but he was on the actual like last cuts of the Cleveland Browns in the 85 season. So, you know, he just told me how it was, you know, it's cutthroat, it's real political. If you don't go to the right schools, is, you know, it could pan out like that. So I just never had that hunger to go out that far and get cut, you know, or just deal with that, the politics of it. So I never had any hunger for it.
So at what point did you say, you know what, I need to start focusing on this tech now?
What age?
Yeah, what age or what point of your life did you say, okay, I didn't went to school, I didn't play football, basketball, I'm killing it, I got to college, and now it's time for me to turn it on when it comes to this tech world.
Well, honestly, sophomore year of college, I was home on Christmas break, and man, we were sitting over some friend's house, and we were all hungry, right? And so I'm sitting there. And I'm like, man, it's got to be something to order around here to get delivered. It was snowing in Michigan, right? So I'm like, how can we do this? We called a pizza man or whatever, but I'm like, I don't want pizza. What else can we get delivered? And I mean, obviously nothing. Pizza is probably the only thing, pizza and wings, you can really get delivered to your house. And so I'm starting to think, I'm like, man, it's got to be the way to get something else delivered. And so I went and I thought of this idea. At the time, Twitter was really big on those hashtags. So at the time, Twitter, you could hashtag the school, you know, the school, your name, like if it's SVSU, which stands for Saginaw Valley State University, you could hashtag that and attach the graduating year, SVSU 15 or SVSU 13 or whatever that graduating year is. People would, you know, post things on that. So I'm like, I see people always visiting hashtags. What if I put a flyer up there? And I attached to it, say, hey, if you order any food, you could add a $4, I think it was $5.25 delivery fee to it. And then I would pay for your food in advance. And then when you get there, you pay me back for what you ordered. And so I went and did that. I hashtagged that and I put it out there, and people started ordering. Like, boom, people started just literally. If you look on Instagram right now and you underscore go getters with a Z, instead of S, go getters with a Z. My company is still there that I did back in my sophomore year. And so I did that all of Christmas break in 2012 or 13. And I was looking like, okay, how can I take this to the next level? I was trying to figure out how to get an app, but I was pretty broke at the time. So I just had to go back to school. That was my first idea to really jump into it with the tech and the ordering and all that stuff.
That's cool. Yeah. So when you stopped doing it, was it still on your mindset through the rest of the school year?
Oh yeah, it was literally on my mind every day, man. I was trying to figure out ways for somebody to keep it going. I was right. Literally calling people like, can you just pick up this business and keep it going for me? People are texting the number they want it, blah blah blah, but I couldn't find any way to keep people, you know, active doing it. It was really hard to find somebody to take it off my hands. I didn't even want to sell it. I just was like, you can take it and keep the money. Just keep the, you know, keep the idea going, keep the brand going. And so me having Spring Ball that year, I didn't have much time to really do it down in Missouri.
Yeah. Was that the first business that you had?
That was my first official business that I ever started. Yeah.
How did you feel when you got your first order and you made your first $5 off an order? How did that
when
feel?
When I first did it, man, I was just like, honestly, freaked out. Because when they actually texted me, I'm like, hold on. Somebody actually did this? Like, yeah. Because it was up for about 10, 15 minutes before the first one came through. And so they texted, and you know, the fear of being in Saginaw, right? You know, popping up at somebody's door with some food, you know, it was a risky situation. I'm like,
yeah, it could be very dangerous, man.
Yeah, I'm like, man, you know what? You only live once, I got to do this. And so I delivered the food. I went and picked it up, paid for it. Took it to their door. I'm like, man, if they rob me, it is what it is. They can have it. You know, I just know that I thought of something cool. And so I took it to her, and it was a young lady on the other side of the door, and she handed me the exact change. And I walked away like, wow, this actually worked.
You was the first Uber Eats then?
I was Uber Eats before Uber Eats, bro. I had never been on the thing.
What is going on? How do we get this boat, man? You know what I'm saying? How we miss this one, man?
I had never heard of DoorDash or Uber Eats or nothing, man.
Wow. No. Oh, that's something. He was the first Uber Eats, man.
Yep. I did that, man. So when I relocated to Texas, you know, once I graduated, got out of school, and I was looking to do the same thing in Texas. It was already Uber Eats and DoorDash and all that.
Okay. So now you left Missouri, right? You left the Saginaw, small city, went to Missouri. Missouri is not too big, right? But now you're correct. In Dallas, an international city.
Yeah.
How you feeling the day you reached Dallas?
Well,
and then the tech world too, right? Tie that in together.
Oh yeah, the journey to get to Dallas was crazy because I went to school for accounting, and so that year I got to Dallas January 2016, but then November 2015, my dad passes away, so it was just like, you know, literally starting from scratch, right? Like my dad. Just him being there with me, him always being my sidekick, just on any and everything. Y'all like my best friend. So losing him and then having to figure out, you know, what's next. Because I had started telling him before that summer before he passed, like, hey, man, let's go to Texas. Let's do that. He kept saying, what's different in Texas? I'm like, Dad, it's no snow. Like, that's the thing. No snow down there. That's like the main reason we're going. So he was like, that ain't worth it. That ain't worth it. I'm like, all right, man, whatever. So as he got sick, you know, I wasn't going to leave. And then, you know, as he passed, then I'm like, okay, you know, it was just time for me to set sail. So I literally drove out of a snowstorm to get to Texas, leaving literally. And so I drove what 18 hours down, and I took my dad's truck, and man, I moved on and came to Dallas.
So you immediately tapped into the tech world, or I know you said you were doing some other stuff, but go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't. I didn't even tap into tech right away. I just needed to get a job, and the easiest way for me to get a job was with my accounting degree.
Gotcha.
And so I went worked for Dr. Pepper Snapple Group as a commercial trade accountant. And so I just knew that I needed some money to keep a job and things like that. But as I'm working for Dr. Pepper, you know, that's when kind of I started, you know, getting on the web browser and trying to get into the tech world.
Wow. So now you're working a full-time job and you're trying to figure out this entrepreneurship thing. So we both, me and Jason both have been there, right?
Yes.
So how many hours did you work doing that when you worked for your full-time job and you were doing your entrepreneur thing? Did you ever sleep?
Ooh, man, to be honest, man, I can't honestly remember resting too much, for real, because I was working at least 50 hours a week at work. That's not just
say that,
travel.
Say that one more time. Yeah. How many hours?
just work, and at Dr. Pepper, I was working 50 hours minimum, not to include travel. Maybe that was with travel, you know, to and from work, 30 minutes there, 30 minutes back. You're talking 60 hours between just work and travel. So outside of that, man, I was hustling and bustling, like literally, like on Fridays or Thursday nights, I would literally catch a flight, you know, to go connect with the right people anywhere in the United States. I had a bunch of friends in the tech industry that I would reach out to, and man, I would just book a flight and go see them. And so I wouldn't sleep all weekend because I'm, you know, hopping in Ubers and, you know, renting cars and doing whatever I got to do to get in front of the right people. So man, I can't remember resting much, honestly.
Yeah. Wow. 50 hours on your regular job. Most people don't want to work 40.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Would you say if you didn't love the tech world, would you have been able to do that?
If I didn't love it, I don't think I would. I don't think I would. Exactly. Because the type of grind that I was given to it, man, I mean, like, I was relentless with it. I mean, literally every day. I mean, this has literally been since then, since 2017. I have not stopped a day. Like, I maybe take a day or two, but I'm still doing something towards it, you know?
Exactly. So, exactly.
I'm still going at it, you know, balls to the wall, like it's my first day. I'm still in love with it. I'm still in love with what, you know, the changes and the growth.
I hope people who are listening to this understand exactly what you just said. You have to find something that you don't mind doing for free and figure out a way to get paid doing it. You have to love this. you know, this entrepreneur thing, you know? So I rock with you, man. I enjoy hearing that story about you, man, of getting off work for 50 hours a week and then catching flights, doing other different things, going to meet people to fill your dream, man, is to get into this tech world and make a splash, right? So, and you're still doing it since 2006?
Yes, that's too well. You're talking on a professional level. Like, just talking from just being around it my whole life, for real. You know,
man, I love it.
So it's ingrained in you. You can't get rid of it if you wanted to.
Yeah. I couldn't if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Boomerang, it's coming back.
Yeah, it's so much. Yeah. It's so much momentum. If you would stop right now, it'll run you over.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's too much momentum. You've been doing it for too long. You've put too much hours and time and sweat and blood, tears, the whole nine. If you stop now, it'll run you over.
Literally.
So tell us about a few of those meetings you have with people that can, you know, when a stroke of a pen could change your life.
You said a stroke of a pen?
Yeah. Tell us about a couple of those meetings that you may have had with somebody who had the ability to stroke a pen and change your life.
Yeah, man. As I'm working at Dr. Pepper Snapple Group, that was 2017. So I was at a Texas Rangers baseball game, and I'm on a date with a young lady. And you know, I'm from Michigan, so in the summertime it's 112 degrees. I'm sweating like crazy.
I'm like, I've been there. I know exactly what you're going through.
You know, and I'm like, how can I get up and get her a drink in the coolest way without coming back sweaty and just ruin everything? Right? I'm like, how can I do this? So I'm like, man, if there was only like a robot or something that could bring me something, you know, or an app, you know? So I kind of started playing with that idea. And so, you know, that I held on to it. I'm like, see, this is kind of like my ordering from, you know, 2013. I know that, you know, it's the same concept, just a little bit more synchronized with the stadiums. And so that was my idea. And so I started, like I said, going back out to my friends and family, calling everybody, and literally like booking flights and going to see them. And so one of the most influential trips that I took that following 2018 was to go see my buddy. Well, I didn't go to see him, but I went to hang out in New Orleans at the Essence Fest 2018. And so he ended up, you know, hearing about my idea, the stadiums. And so he reached out to his friends. And next thing I was know, I was talking into a Saudi Arabian investor. And so these guys, you know, come from the oil industry with Saudi Aramco. And literally they flew over here in May. And after about a 12-hour meeting, we went into a lawyer and got a contract drawn up that changed my life forever. So I can say definitely having that one meeting and the struggle of pen.
Okay, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Change your life forever.
Yes.
All right.
My name is Chandler Young, and I'm the CEO and founder of I Just Order. I Just Order is a tech company that specializes in building apps for stadiums and other events so that customers can have their concessions and merchandise delivered during a live event. From the time I was in middle school all the way into high school, I played quarterback in football. Playing quarterback, you have to answer many challenges on the go. And today, I'm an entrepreneur, so some of those challenges still exist. I feel I Just Order is important because you're a player, you look in the stands, and you see your family member that have went and got something to eat, and you don't want them to miss that big play because your number was called. All the way into a fan's perspective where you see your favorite player about to get the ball, but you're hungry. No longer do we want that to be a problem. We want you to stay in your seat, order from your phone, wait for that food to deliver, to never miss a moment again.
All right, Chandler. So tell me, man, you know, and we all think about it, but what would you say has changed in your life since you actually started this?
Oh man, that's a heck of a question. if you're talking like mentality wise, or
I mean it all. I mean give us the lay down. Just let us know, because as an entrepreneur, we know that things are gonna change, and sometimes we don't expect it, right? Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to see, hey, in your life, what did you see change? And it could be for the good and the bad.
Ooh, yeah. I'll say this, that, you know, with great thing, with any, you know, access you get in life, much responsibility comes with it. So for me, what changed with gaining access to different things like investors and business opportunities, I saw things come towards me instead of me having to go towards it. Mm. Like literally, like stuff just drawn to me. Like I could just walk in and it was like, it just coming to slap me in the face. Like whatever, like it would be anything from, you know, business opportunities to women to whatever. It would just be like, just falling in my lap. And it was like, man, it wasn't like this before I really chose to go all in at entrepreneurship, right? It was like, you know, I would have to hunt and beg for it. But now it literally just comes to me. So I can say that's the number one thing that has changed in my life since doing this.
Just doors start opening then, right?
Doors just start opening out the clear blue sky. Like, how in the world did this door open for me? And I don't even know why.
The unthinkable. The unthinkable, yeah. You know, and stuff like that happens all the time. You know, once you get into it, and like Jay said, once that momentum starts to get going, you'll be wondering, hey, where has it all been hiding? Because it's always been there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But where has it all? Why has it been hiding? But it's been hiding in plain clothing. But as soon as you said, look, I'm gonna put my whole self into it, then the sky just opened up.
Yeah. You make your own momentum. Nobody can make it for you. The things that happen, it just didn't happen. You put it in motion.
Mm-hmm.
You put it in motion. You pushed and shoved and you crawled and cried the whole nine. And the things that happen to you now, you did it. You know what I'm saying? Because if you didn't do anything, you stayed working at that job, that 9-to-5 job, guess what? Nothing would have fell in your lap then.
Nope.
But you still would have been working 50 hours a week.
Exactly. Exactly. Regardless. That's the point. Exactly. So you did it, man. You did it. It changed your life. So, hey, man, it's to be commended, man. You know? Okay. Absolutely. I'm happy for you. I'm happy.
I appreciate
for you. That. A quick side note. So, I remember I told Jason earlier, I was going to tell you guys how me and him met, right? He was on a Facebook Live and he was talking trash about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. So I got on there. I'm like, man, listen, man, you're too young to know who Michael Jordan is, man. So I didn't even know him. You know, I'm just talking trash. He's talking trash too, man. So that's kind of how we met, man. And then I kind of find out, man. Newsflash. He's actually from my hometown, Saginaw, Michigan. I didn't know that neither, you know? So it's funny how things kind of maneuver, you know? Oh, so yeah. I made sure I gave him a call. And when I did give him a call, Chandler, tell him what I was telling you when we got into the talk a few times. What was kind of like the conversation?
Man, pretty much you were just like, man, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Like, I don't know what you're doing, but you're in the right place. I don't know who you are. I don't know nothing about you, but I'm gonna tell you this: keep going. If you ever thought about quitting, I'm here to tell you: don't you stop ever.
So, don't you stop, man. Exactly, that's it, bro. Man, that's huge, man. I love it, man. So now you know, and that's a quick intermission, real quick. But so now we talked about, man. You make this app right now. You know, you had somebody strike that pen, man, to change your life, your family's life. And I seen your family, your girls, man, they look beautiful, right?
Thank you, man.
So now you came a long way, right? You came a long way. What's on the horizon now? What are you doing now? What is the mission?
Well, right now, man, it's a lot more on the table, more entrepreneurship, you know, same core business with the app. But, you know, I've diversified into a few other lanes as well. And so with the app, we're working more on a professional level. We started with the core of it being colleges and things of that nature. But it was another stroke of a pen situation that changed everything at the beginning of this year in March. And so, I got a crazy story behind how that all pulled off. But,
Please tell us.
Yeah, I'll give you guys the full story. The full story.
Hey, that's what we're here for, man. That's what we're here for.
So, about December, I met a young lady out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And so she was an attorney. And so I wanted to do some business with her so she can kind of represent me and things like that. I met her on the networking app, Clubhouse. And so I wanted her to represent some of the deals we were doing because, you know, I just didn't have an attorney that I really could trust. You know, I had some outside attorneys, but I wanted some in-house people. And some of my friends and family being out in Charlotte, I said, man, look, I can have my people come sit with you. And they kind of vetted her out. And so they were like, yeah, it's good to go. You know, let's roll it. And so I went out there in January. And so I was telling her that, hey, you know, we're going to do business or whatever. But outside of that, I had my birthday coming up February 8th. And so she was like, OK, what are you going to do? I was like, man, well, I'm headed to the Super Bowl. Some buddies of mine were going down to Tampa. And so I was going to go to do that. But as I'm sitting there talking with her, a notification comes through my phone and reminded me that I had a reservation for the St. Regis in Puerto Rico. And so I was supposed to be going to St. Regis in Puerto Rico for my birthday to celebrate it. And so I'm like, oh, snap, I didn't already booked all this Tampa stuff. I looked at her. I'm like, you want to go to this? You want to take this trip? And so she's just like, I mean, I guess. I'm like, look, you got it. Like, it's yours. Like, go ahead and have it. Like, I already spent my money.
You have my number?
I'm like, look, you got it, man. Like, I can't do nothing without it. Spend my money. They definitely not gonna give me a refund. So go ahead, right? And so I'm like, look, here's the deal, though. When I leave Tampa, I'm going back to Miami, and we're gonna be out there for a week. You are more than welcome to come back. And so she met me in Miami. We party, we hung out. You know, got the business established, and so that kind of set the format for me to have a new legal partner at that point. And so as we're leaving, Miami that Thursday, one of my buddies called me down and like, come down to Key West. So we ended up just renting a car and going to Key West from Miami. And so we hang out there. And then as I'm coming back to Dallas, not to Dallas, but to Miami to fly back out maybe that Saturday, that's when we got the news about the Dallas storm. And that's when that snowstorm, the ice storm had happened in Dallas. So I get the call about how our power is out in Dallas. So I can't even fly back to Dallas at that point. I'm pretty much a refugee, right? And so we like, oh, snap. I'm like, forget it. Let's go back to Charlotte. We go back to Charlotte with my cousin and her. We all fly back. And then I just got the news maybe like a day later that I got into this accelerator program by the name of Startup Leadership Program out of Boston, Massachusetts. And because it was during COVID, this program is usually in person. It's usually like a 8-week to 12-week program in person. But now because of COVID, it's over Zoom. So I'm like, oh, great. I can do it over Zoom. And so as I'm waiting for the power to stuff to get back on in Dallas, it's just taking forever. And every Thursday, these classes are being held. And the second, so it passed maybe like February 24th or 5th that week. This guy, everybody's in this group chat, you know, of that startup leadership program. They keep bragging on this guy named Jason Quate. Like, hey, Jason Quate's his business the coolest, it's the best. And me being competitive, I'm like, you're not about to sit here and brag about nobody else. And I'm in here too. Like, I'm just like, let me go.
That's a Saginaw all in you, bro. That's a Saginaw all in you.
You hear me? I'm like, let me go check this cat and let him know he ain't the best. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me go check this cat, let him know that, yo, I know your business is cool, but I'm here to play. And so I went in, and they had these cool little rooms to where you could go in these rooms and sit down, and you have a face-to-face little Zoom meeting. I can't think of what program they were using. And so I sat with him and I'm like, man, what, why everybody bragging on you? Like, what is it that, that your business is doing that makes you so special? Why you? And he goes into a story about how his grandfather scaled one of the largest HVAC companies, HVAC companies in Manhattan through the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And he sold a portion of it in the late 90s for a couple billion dollars. And I'm looking like, oh, wow. So you guys are billionaires. Wow, that's pretty cool, right? And so he goes on to say, yeah, man, you know, after that, he ended up taking that core of that business, but taking it to a technological standpoint to where his business can do business with other businesses, meaning like, so say for you're a commercial building and you need somebody to come in and do the landscaping. Through his company called Utilize Core, you can reach out and his company be the middleman for you guys to find each other, to message each other and pay invoices right through their platform. And so he's the president of that. He's same age as me, 28 years old. And, you know, he's scaling his company. You know, they've raised a few rounds. After that, he tell me about his story. He, you know, in return asked for my story. And so I tell him, you know, I got this stadium business. You know, I've been scaling it since 2018. And, you know, we just still looking to grow. And he said, oh, stadiums, you know, I think I might be able to help with that. You know, and I'm like, oh, wow. You know, wow. People say that all the time, but I really wanted to know how. I'm like, man, let me know what, you know, what you're thinking. He's like, take my number, take my email. He's like, call me tomorrow at noon. So I did exactly what he told me. I called him, you know, the next day at noon. And he was like, okay. So I was thinking, you know, I talked to a few of my people and, you know, I like to help you. And you know, this is how I can help you. He was like, my family, they own the Milwaukee Bucks. They own Manchester United. And I look back at the screen. I'm just like, who are you again? Like, you know,
yeah.
Who are you? And so at that point, I look over at my friend and, you know, the attorney. I'm like, look, the strike the deal right then and there. And I promise you, she saved me so much of my company because I literally did not know how much to offer him equity. I'm like, so wow. How can we work something out to where I can compensate you for any efforts you give and anything else you bring to the table? And so he's just like, you know, some equity or whatever. And I was looking to give up too much, right? And so she looked at me. She was like, start low, very low. And I started at 1%. And, you know.
So it was like the Shark Tank a little bit.
It was definitely like that.
Wow, okay.
And so we negotiated back and forth. It took about an hour to get it really, really to where we wanted it. But the main thing that we softened out was that he had to bring me a certain amount of stadiums and, you know, a few other people from his network. And so another person from his network ended up being the owners of Smile Direct Club and the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Man.
And so... Wow. It was just like, oh, wow, these are your friends. I forget that other people hang with you.
Yeah. Wow.
It all makes sense. Like.
Man,
so,
listen, man, that's huge. That's huge.
Oh, yeah. And so all the April, we kind of go back and forth and, you know, getting the deal done. And so we didn't ink the deal until about first week of May. And that changed everything.
All from a conversation.
Exactly. See, a lot of people, man, they want these opportunities, right? They're not willing to put in the time or the effort, right? Or even approach somebody. Like, who are you that I should know you, right? Or this type of situation, you know? And sometimes that's all it takes a lot of time because some people are so nervous around people who have money or whatever the case is that they kind of shy away from even approaching them. So you did that. You showed some action. And look, that conversation changed everything for you. That plugged you into other people who got that different kind of money. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, that's what's up, man. Love it. Love it.
That's cool. We can't beat that story. No how, man.
No. So we're the first one with that story then, right?
Yeah, I'm the first one to ever be on public record. On public record with that one.
Absolutely.
I have not tied that on public record.
Cool. So, but man, and I know we talked about this before too. We talked about some a development that's going on in downtown Detroit that you was a part of as well?
Correct. So, you know, in return for them, you know,
allowing me to, you know, for me in return of me allowing them to be a part of what I had going on, you know, they extended the offer to say, hey, man, we got some stuff going on as well in real estate. And so, you know, the guys who own the Cleveland Cavaliers, they work closely in the Detroit renovation projects. And so in the Corktown, Detroit, they were building a hotel, the Godfrey Hotel, apartment complex, 220 unit apartment complexes, and a townhome project. And so they, you know, offered me to take a 1% equity on the deal, and, you know, I happily accepted. And so I was able to get in on that right on the friends and family round. And so, yeah, that was just crazy. And like I said, those type of things just came at me without me even knowing where it came from. So,
nah, that's cool, man. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Detroit is for sale right now, you know, so you right in the ground level, you plugged in with the right people. So absolutely. I'm happy for you, man. I'm happy for you. I'm glad you didn't give up back then, you know, so you kept on going. Yeah. So absolutely. So you had any more questions for me?
Jason? Nah, man, I'm just enjoying the story. I'm just enjoying the story, man.
I was so focused on what he said that I forget to ask my questions, man. So it's like, man, I'm very happy for you, man. You know, because where we from, man, it's not a lot of people come out of what we from. You know what I'm saying? To see you come out of there, man, and you got your family and everything, man, and you're doing business and you're around the right people, man. I'm happy for you, man. I really am. I'm really happy for you.
I appreciate
it. Keep up the good work. So, hey, so you got all this stuff going on, man. So what is one thing? Okay, here's a good question, right? I was posed this the other day, me and my guys was on a call. So if you could talk to the 21-year-old you right now, what would you tell yourself?
Oh, man. Don't waste any time. Don't waste any time, you know? It was a lot of time that I sat still and just kind of, you know, come home on summer breaks and things like that to enjoy myself, to kick it. I would tell myself, you know, don't waste any time. Just, you know, I always worked hard with in forms of athletics, you know, I would stay in shape and all that stuff. But it was those down hours to where I felt like now I look back at it where I could have did something, whether that was reading a book, or, you know, writing down my thoughts and organizing and just, you know, going through how I felt, you know, just going through those type of, you know, dealing with that side of things and not so much more business, but use it for something that can build myself in a different mental capacity. So just using time to, you know, to spend with myself and not spreading it between others.
Okay. Excellent. So cool. As we know that leaders are readers, right? So What is two good books that you read over your life that kind of helped you in this world that we're in right now?
I love The Lean Startup. I don't know if you heard of that one.
The Lean Startup. Mm-hmm. The Lean Startup, okay.
The Lean Startup, yep. Okay. This was a little random, but it's one of my favorites. It is due to our culture and due to just, you know, our heritage plays a big part in my purpose and why I really am driven. And it's The Future of the American Negro by Booker T. Washington. Mm. And so that's, wow.
Two great books, man. Two great books, man. Well, listen, man, I knew this was going to be a ride. I knew it was going to be a ride, man. And I appreciate you coming on. And you know, what we try to do is basically, you know, try to learn a little bit about you, man, before you even came to Texas. You know, all the way to where you're at right to this day, man. So, and I can't wait to see where you're going to be in the next 5 years. Don't forget about us, man.
Man, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, man. We just had a meeting today with Grambling State and Georgia Tech, so we hoping to be landing those contracts by next week. And so, you know, we still on the grind and still hustling at it. So, you know, just never stop, you know, even when things look like they're going to slow up, just know that it's coming back and just got to be ready for when it does come back.
No doubt.
Yeah. I was just about to ask you for your final thoughts. You nailed it, man. You nailed it. What's your final thought, Jason?
You know what? I'm actually at the point, man, where I'm really amazed, and I agree with Jay when he says, man, congratulations. And none of this would have happened if, again, we didn't know and understand where you actually came from and the things that you actually went through to get to where you are now. And nothing's going to stop you from now. You know, nothing's going to stop you from now. So definitely, man, congratulations to you, all your endeavors that you've done so far and your future ones that the rest of these doors are going to continue to open up for you, brother.
Yeah, man, that's much appreciated.
Yeah, and mine is just, you know, mine is always these things, these few words here, man. Just get started. Whatever your goal is, whatever you're trying to accomplish, it comes a time when you got to just stop taking in all this information and put some of this stuff in action. Just get started. And you'll learn, just like Mr. Chandler did, that sooner or later, if you put a lot of effort into it and you keep going and you keep hustling, sooner or later, man, those blessings will start falling in your lap. And then you get to the point like he is, if he stopped, that these blessings will run over him. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, man, everybody, I know some people that's from Stagnall are going to listen to this, man. So I want to say this especially for these guys, man. So I know exactly what you're saying as far as BV, because I'm from right off of Perkins and 12th Street. So not too far from where you're from, Chandler. But I went to the
house. Okay.
But there's a lot of people, young people, that's in those neighborhoods right to this day. And unfortunately, a lot of them are in bad situations because they don't see no other way. They think the wrong way is the right way. Hopefully, they'll be able to pay attention to this and apply some of the things, some of the jewels that you drop to get them to that next level. So it is possible. I'm from there, so there's no excuse. Chandler's from there, there's no excuse. Now it's all about you. What you going to do with it? Let's get moving. That's for my people back home, man. So I love them, man. I hope they can get it together. Yeah. I didn't want to get emotional, but that you got to understand, man. You sacrifice my heart, man. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot going on there.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. What's your social media handles, man, so we can get in contact with you if they want to, you know, team up with you on some stuff, man? How can they reach you?
On Instagram, I am Chandler A. Young, and on Twitter, same there, Chandler A. Young. And yeah, that's the two that I promote. And so, yeah, our website for the company is www.ijustorder.com. Another brand of ours is www.skinkick.com. And I didn't even, you know, bring that up, but I am a shareholder in a skincare company called Skinkick. It's in about 500 Ulta Beauty stores, Target, Macy's. Another app I'm going to promote is Let's Link, and that's www.letslink.com. And what else I got? That's all I'm going to say right now. I can't.
That sounds like an entrepreneur right there, because I can't remember the name. I'm the same way. What about you, Jason? How do we get in contact with you, Jason?
Hey, man, you know me. Call me. 972-220-8104, or hit me up on the email, man, jsims@newwayggroupllc.com.
And you reach out to me, man, smallbusinessstandup.com, man. Mid-City Acquisition Group, go on YouTube, just pull Jay Wicker up, and you'll find me, man. So, hey, man, this has been a pleasure. Look forward to doing this in the next 3 or 4 years, man, and tell us about some more experiences that you experience. And if there's anything I can get in on the ground level, let me know. I want in, bro. If I can share your books or your bag, your computer, let me know what I need to do, what I'm in, bro.
Hey, Jay, I wanted to say this to you.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know you knew my cousin, Chris Cork.
Man, I know Chris, man.
Yeah, that's my first cousin, man.
Wow. Okay. That's what's up.
That's my first cousin.
Wow. So I mean, you know how slang all is, man. It's not too big, you know. So we know everybody, man. Everybody. So for years, yeah. I was a promoter for years. So I know everybody. That's real. Well, I know we still on the podcast, but we definitely talk, man. But let them know and say what's up, man.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, Mr. Chandler, Mr. Jason. Cool. Hey, man, look forward to doing this again. All right.
I appreciate you guys.
We'll talk to you guys later, man.
All right, you too now.
You guys have a great rest of your night. Thank you.
All right, now. Bye-bye. Later.
Thank you for tuning in. Please follow us on Acorn and Spotify and on Facebook, Small Business Stand Up. See you on the next episode. MCA Back Office aims to help real estate wholesalers who have their 9-to-5 jobs, those who are busy with their businesses or family responsibilities, and even help students. MCA Back Office gives you leads, research comps, calculate offers for you. Basically, MCA be your back office. You can find them on Facebook. Just search MCA Back Office.